our mini Advent is almost at its end. I said earlier that this is the last Mass in this, the last Advent Mass in this chapel. That doesn't mean today is the last day of Advent. Tomorrow is the last day of Advent, but tomorrow is also Sunday, and it's also Christmas Eve. So tomorrow night it would already be Christmas. That's how close we are to the end. Yesterday, I pointed out that it was the shortest day of the year, the darkest day of the year, which means from now on, from the next 6 months, days will get progressively longer. Since I'm always curious about this sort of thing, I looked it up. I wanted to know how much longer is today than yesterday. 1 second. Actually, less than 1 second, but they said just for the sake of the chart, it's 1 second. So, meaning really insignificant to us. There's no way we could notice it unless we have really high-powered technology to determine the actual length of the solar day. But it's still true we have turned the corner. Even if we can't tell, we're on the other side of the December solstice, which I think is a nice way to think about where we are in Advent. We have turned the corner. The Lord is actually already in our midst because he's in the womb of Mary, but we can't see him yet. In fact, we can hardly detect his presence. In today's gospel, which is the gospel about the birth of John, Mary is about 3 months pregnant. Remember, Elizabeth was in her sixth month, and then Mary went to see her, stayed with her about 3 months, birth of John. So Mary's about 3 months, maybe a little more. I don't know when you can tell if a woman's pregnant. I think 3 months is still pretty early. Probably people looking at Mary couldn't tell. Is that right? Okay, so in other words, it's not yet very noticeable, but the difference is already made. And if you're following the liturgy day by day, either in the Simmangabi Novena or just the daily liturgy, you know that we celebrated the other day the incarnation, the annunciation, when the word became flesh. And since that time, we're aware that God is already with us, but he's not yet born. So now we come to this day, and the theme we have chosen for this day is a prophet to prepare the way for the Savior. A prophet to prepare the way for the Savior. Now we think of that, you say, a prophet, okay, a prophet is a big figure, a big deal. Think of Elijah calling down fire from heaven, or Elijah going up to the heavens in a whirlwind of fire, chariots of fire. A prophet to prepare the way for the Savior, and the Savior, of course, God himself among us. God who comes to free us from the chains of sin and the condemnation that hangs over us. So a prophet and a Savior are very big figures. The first reading today, which is where we get this theme, says that the Lord says, I'm going to send my messenger ahead of me to prepare the way before me. I'm sending someone, a prophet, to prepare the way. And a little later in the reading, it mentions Elijah. So we think of these strong figures. But to understand where we are, it might help you to look at this picture that's on the song sheet. Did you get a song sheet? There's these little chubby little babies there. They don't look like a prophet and a Savior. They look like toddlers playing. Of course, this is Jesus and John the Baptist as children. And it's an interesting picture. It really caught my eye because Jesus is holding this shell, giving a drink of water to John. John is the one on the right. He's holding the staff, wearing the cloak that symbolizes a prophet. He's dressed like Elijah, in fact, in this, even though he's a little baby, he's dressed like Elijah. And he's holding this staff, and there's a little scroll wrapped around the pole. You see that at the top of the pole? Now, you can't read the writing on this printout of it, but if you look at the actual painting, it says, Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God. So John, from his infancy, already is fulfilling this mission of pointing out, behold the Lamb of God. Well, the Lamb of God is this little figure here holding the shell. That's Jesus. And there's a lamb off to his left looking up at him. So the symbolism is clear. No, the Lamb of God is Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus is the one giving a drink to John at this stage. Jesus is the more dominant figure, even though he's 6 months younger. It's a little bit smaller, you can tell in the painting. He's the younger of the two children, but he's the dominant one. He's holding his hand up to heaven. He's giving a drink to John because John comes from the Lord. And John says this, there's someone who will come after me who was before me because he was ahead of me. He existed before me. That's this little baby here. He's more prominent than John, as great as John is. We know that when they grow up, John will be the one holding the shell, and he'll be baptizing Jesus. And John will say, well, this isn't right. You should be baptizing me. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks. But anyway, here's this painting. Now, the one last thing I want to point out about this, because this is our visual aid for today. At the top, there's three more. Looks like little babies up there. Those must be angels. And at the bottom left, there is the Lamb. So at the top is the heavenly realm, the spirit world, and at the bottom on the left is the animal world, the natural world. We think a prophet to prepare the way for the Savior is something from this heavenly level, and it is, because prophets are sent by God and the Savior is God. But the whole point of this season is to prepare the way for this divine Savior to come down into this world, down where the animals are. We're going to see a sheep tomorrow night, right? Hanging around the manger. There's the ox and the ass and the cattle and the sheep. Shepherds will come. So the sheep represents this world. And in between heaven and earth, or the uniting of heaven and earth, are these two figures here. The prophet preparing the way for the Savior. So John the Baptist, as we have seen already in Advent, is one of the most important preparation figures. The other one, even more important, is Mary herself. Tomorrow, if you look ahead to tomorrow's gospel, we're going to go back to the Annunciation again, because the real preparation, or the best preparation for Christmas, is Mary's preparation. But for now, we'll focus on John the Baptist. By the way, one last point about the liturgy. I think five different people asked me if we're going to sing the Gloria today. I suppose that's a good question, because if you went to Mass earlier, you sang the Gloria, the Simbangabe, or last night, you sang the Gloria, because during Simbangabe, we sing the Gloria. But this is not the Simbangabe Mass, this is just Mass for December 23. And the Gloria was revealed when the angels came to the shepherds, remember? Glory to God in the highest. And they haven't come yet. Not till tomorrow night. So we don't sing the Gloria until tomorrow night. Okay. Now let's look at this gospel. This is the story of the birth of John and the receiving of his name. Two parts. The birth is described very briefly, and then more about the name. At the birth of John, everyone rejoices. And this is the right response to a birth, even if we don't know his name. To be born, to exist at all, is a gift from God. Every person is a gift from God. It doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter what their name is, it doesn't matter what they are, what their mission is, what kind of situation they're born into. Every person is a gift from God. Every person is an icon of God. Every person is, in a sense, a prophet to prepare the way for the Savior. Because every person is sent by God into the world, just as John the Baptist was. So as we celebrate the birth of John, we're also reminded that every birth is an occasion of celebration. They rejoiced with Elizabeth because she gave birth to a child. So that's true of everyone. Now the second reflection is on the name. When we get to a name, we're talking about the uniqueness of each person, the individuality, the specific vocation. And this is a cause of great wonder. You know the story about the name. Zechariah, the father, was told the name of the child even before the child was conceived. So God had a plan for this child, and he revealed it to his father. Zechariah, clearly communicated it to his wife somehow, even though he couldn't talk. She knows that this child's name is already John. And eventually they figure it out. That's what the father says, so that's what we're going to call him, John. John, the name John means God is gracious. But what's interesting here is that when the name John is bestowed on the child, the father receives again the ability to speak. His mouth is opened, his tongue freed, and he speaks blessing God. And that's Canticle of Zechariah, which is the next passage in this chapter of Luke. And then it says, fear came upon all their neighbors. Fear, that's not fear that they're afraid. It's fear, awe. It's reverence. It's that fear of the Lord. It's that awareness that we're in the presence of something awesome here. Something too hard to take in. Can't even explain. Something bigger here than we thought. It's not just another poor child or another child born. It's something more. And then they ponder this. What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, that's certainly true of John, but it's also true of us. They say there's two points to be reflected on here. One thing is the dignity of each human person just by the very fact that we exist and are created in God's image. That's what we celebrate in the birthday of anybody, no matter what they've done or haven't done. But then there's something awesome about each person too, and that is the unique role that God has in mind for that person. And we don't know what that is. Even the person himself or herself doesn't know. We don't know the fullness of God's plan for us as we journey through time. So we ask about every person, what then will this child be? Surely the hand of the Lord was with him. We can ask that about everybody. Even though we already celebrate a child's existence or a person's existence, we also are open to the more that God has in mind through this person. It's a great way to understand the dignity of each human person and the uniqueness of each person and the dignity of the whole human family. You see, the human beings are at the meeting point between heaven and earth, at the meeting point between what is spiritual and what is natural. But we're not animals. We're spiritual animals. We're spirit body. And that makes us a special, that gives us a special place in God's creation and in God's plan. So John is the one who's the prophet called to prepare the way for the Savior. But each one of us, because God made us, and because God calls us, because God sends us, has a prophetic role. By baptism, we are all prophets. We all have a mission to make known the Lord and to prepare the way for his coming. So in these last hours of Advent, let us dedicate ourselves to this mission, to the unfolding, the awesome unfolding of this adventure in God's will. Let God's will be done. Even if we don't know what it is yet, we know God has a great plan for us, much greater than we can imagine. So let us journey forward with confidence that God has a great plan for us and through us for others.